I am Justin Oldham, and you're listening to ATS Member Podcast, supported by AboveTopSecret.com. I'd like to take the next 10 minutes to talk to you about political parties and information security. No matter what country you live in, if you do intend to start your own political party, you're going to have to guard your knowledge base. As the old saying goes, information is power, and to preserve your power, you're going to have to preserve your party's internal information. Now, just to be clear about this, conspiracy operators, corporate CEOs, and political party managers all have to handle their information on three different levels. You've got the publicly accessible materials, the sensitive materials, and the secret stuff. For the most part, your publicly accessible materials will be defined as anything that you would feel good about putting out on the internet. Sensitive materials will be those things that you're not ashamed of, but you don't exactly want it getting around, so you're going to restrict access to it. And your secret stuff will be the things that you don't want anybody except your chain of command or your inner circle to know about. This can be everything from the truth about your organization's cash flow to all of the dirt that you've dug up on your opposition. Now, no matter what country you live in, no matter what political party you're affiliated with, it's a safe bet that the people who run those parties that might make you happy or might really cheese you off, these guys and gals, they know stuff that you don't, and they keep it in their back pocket until it's time to drag it out into the light of day. In the United States, one particular example would happen to be the Mark Foley scandal. As you may recall, Representative Mark Foley, he liked the young boys just a little too much. And when that came out in the open, it was a properly timed scandal. And the Democrats brought that out of their top secret locker to make the most of it when somebody in the media leaked it. So this was a case of exploitation. And believe it or not, you're going to be doing your own exploitation if you run your own political party. Now, here in the 21st century, most of what you put out in terms of intelligence gathering, information collection, etc., will be stored on your computer hard drives. And not all of your computer hard drives will be located at party headquarters. Anybody with a grain of sense will have some off-site data dumps that very few people know about. Just remember that every secret that you think you have can be compromised. In purest Machiavellian terms, you should assume that no matter what dirty little secrets or tidbits of financial information you have that you're sitting on, you should always assume that your opposition actually knows about them. Now, aside from the hardware and software stuff that most ATS members are familiar with, there's the matter of recruitment, and I keep coming back to this in each of these podcasts time and time again, because the people that you have working for you will determine more of your success or failure than you, yourself, or anything that you can come up with from that gray matter of yours. Now, at the beginning of this podcast, I deliberately skipped over the usual thing where I say something to the effect of, and for the benefit of those computers over at the Department of Homeland Security, this digital recording was made on Sunday, whatever the date is here. But now, if you were listening and you said, hey, he didn't include that, then you picked up on an important detail. Chances are, if you picked up on that detail, then information security might matter more to you than you think it does. The best way to know how to secure your political party's information is to know how you steal it from the other guy. Now, most ATS political historians are going to be quick to point out the example of the 1972 Watergate break-in as an example of political espionage. And the truth of the matter is, that kind of stuff still goes on today. It's just that nobody's been caught doing that, and it hasn't been reported in the press. But you've got to assume that kind of sneaking and peeking still goes on. the Democrats and the Republicans do have breaking and entering specialists on their payroll. They're about three layers down, very definitely off the books. But they are out there, and they do get into people's offices, and they don't steal anything anymore. They don't have to with digital cameras. They just photograph it all. You may find this hard to believe, but the most common means by which political parties will spy on you is just by eavesdropping. In centuries past, government officials would actually hire people, men, women, and sometimes children, to just go out in public and mingle in the crowds and keep their ears open and report whatever it was they heard. In the 20th century, as mobile tape recording technologies became available, you started to see more covert operations. You started to see people sneaking into crowds and into meetings and everything else with those little tiny micro cassette recorders. Parabolic microphones are not that expensive here in the United States. You can buy them from Radio Shack for about $60. I've tried them out for myself, and yes, they do work. Anybody who wants a crash course in basic surveillance methods, especially those that relate to eavesdropping, would be advised to go to their local video store and rent The Conversation. This is a 1974 movie starring Gene Hackman. In this film, he played an observation specialist and a surveillance expert. And the technologies that you see in this movie are dated, but they have changed very little. Everything that he carried around in his white single van, you now carry around in your pocket. I bring this to your attention because I've done a small bit of political consulting, a little bit of strategizing for different people here on the local level, and they're all quite shocked when they consider the possibility that their opposition might be spying on them. Now, counter-surveillance technologies and personal techniques will only get you so far. At some point, if you're just totally on the ball, your opposition is going to resort to infiltration. Infiltration happens all the time, and it goes on in every political party that you can think of. The opposition will send in one man or one woman who can at least fake belief in whatever ideologies you're putting forward, and they'll start at the ground level, and they'll work their way up in your organization. In some cases, people that you think are perfectly reliable, even the folks you've known for some years now, can be bribed or blackmailed, and we've covered that in other podcasts, so I'll just move on. Now, if everything I've just said is intuitively familiar to you, that's because it's much of the same stuff we talk about on AboveTopSecret.com when we're pulling apart conspiracy theories and we're talking about how different people have managed to keep certain pieces of information hidden, or in terms of what people do to spread disinformation. The simple truth is that the more you know about conspiracy theory and the anatomy of conspiracy theories, the more capable you will be when it comes to the creation and management of your own political party. Now, I've set the stage here to talk about media manipulation in a later episode, but I wanted you to have a larger sense of what you might be doing if you decided to hang out your own shingle as a political strategist or some kind of a party creator. No matter how broad-based your platform is, no matter how point-specific it is, and no matter what ideology you're trying to put forward, you'll always find another organized group to be in opposition. Many philosophers down through the centuries have equated politics with warfare, and they're not wrong. You are, in effect, waging an ideological war. You may not be using bullets, but you will be using ballots. Your politicians that represent your party in the parliament or the senate or whatever body of government that they're in are your soldiers, and the staffs that support them are like the logistical tail that any army has. And that concludes this ATS member podcast, which has been supported by AboveTopSecret.com.